Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, Israel, family, and listening audience. Welcome to another session of Can It Be That Simple? I'm your host, Yara'al of Beth Yahweh Congregation. Before we get into it, I would like for someone to send me a text out and let me know whether or not you can hear me, because I think the last time we had a little technical difficulties. Not assuming that we're going to have them, but just send me a text out and let me know whether or not you can hear me clearly. Like always, I always suggest that you get your Bibles, your study guides, your notebooks, your pads, your iPads, your highlighters, your pens, your pencils, all those things that you need for study. And follow along as we go through tonight's lesson. I'm going to start off with a prayer. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to come together on thy Sabbath day and to hear the words in which you're going to speak. We thank thee for thy loving kindness that you've shown us throughout the course of the week, the lessons and the blessings that you've bestowed upon us. Father, we ask thee to continue to open our eyes, open our ears, and open our minds so that we can see clearly the truth of your word. Father, we thank thee for thy loving kindness and thy comfort that you've given us throughout the course of this week. We thank thee once again for thy son, Yahushua, our Lord, our Savior, Redeemer, and soon coming King, whom you sent here to lay his life down for us, so that we, too, can meet with you. We thank thee once again. In the name of Yahushua, we pray. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahweh, Almighty One, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments, took pleasure in us, and with love and favor gave us his holy Sabbath as a heritage, a remembrance of creation. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Amen. Good evening once again. This is Can It Be That Simple? I'm Yara'al. And tonight's subject is going to be, well, the title of tonight's subject is Faith is the Work of Righteousness. And I'm following up from last week. And last week's lesson was just a little work. So, what are we working with? We're working with our faith. Because through our faith, we're going to be doing the things, or we're going to be striving to be obedient to the voice of Yah. And paying attention to the words that have been being spoken to us through the prophets. Because they are the mediator between the Father and us, humanity. And so we have to listen to them. We have to listen to the prophets, the teachers, those men in whom the Father has put in place to lead and guide us through his word and give us understanding. But we have to have faith. So we're going to start off with the definition of faith. I looked up faith in, you know, the Greek lexicon. I also looked it up in the dictionary. So before we get into the meat of the lesson, we're going to start with faith. So we're going to start off in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 to 3. And I'm going to stop at the word faith first. Okay, it says, now faith is assurance of things hoped for, proof of things not seen. For by this the elders obtained testimony. By faith we understand that the universe has been framed by the word of Mighty One, so that what is seen has not been made out of the things which are visible. So, We're going to go to faith in this scripture, and it's 4102 in your Greek lexicon. And that word is pistis. And the definition for this word, well, the usage, I'm going to start with there, and then I'll go to the definition. The usage is faith, belief, trust, confidence, fidelity, faithfulness. So from here, we're going to go to the definition. And the definition is from pithos. But the definition, it says persuasion, i.e. treatise, moral conviction of religious truth or the truthfulness of God or religious or religious teacher. Especially reliance upon the Messiah for salvation, abstractly consistent in such profession, by extension, the system of religion, gospel, truth itself, assurance, belief, faith, fidelity once again. So now we're going to go to this word, pithos. Pithos. And that's 3982. And the definition for that is to persuade, to have confidence. Now, the definition from with that, it also says it's a primary verb to convince by argument, true or false, by analogy, to pacify or consolidate, reflective or passive. And it has some other definitions. So from there, I looked up faith in the dictionary. And faith also is a noun. And it says complete trust or confidence in someone or something. The synonyms for the word faith is trust, belief, confidence, conviction, credence, reliance, dependence. So one of the synonyms that that jumped out at me was reliance. So I looked reliance up. And reliance is a noun also, and it means dependence. Dependence on or truth in someone or something. Strong belief in God or in the doctrine of a religion based on spiritual apprehension rather than proof. So I looked up the word apprehension because that's not a word I use on a regular. So, and that word is also a noun, and it means to understand or grasp. So, and then some of the synonyms for this particular word is understanding, grasp, comprehension, realization, recognition. So within that definition, those are synonyms I looked up, comprehension. And comprehension is the act or capacity, the capability of understanding something. Okay, so I know I possibly went through those definitions kind of fast, and I apologize, but when going through these scriptures tonight, bear in mind some of these definitions for the word faith, you know, so you can grasp these concepts of what faith is. So as, you know, we go through the scriptures, and as you look in the mirror and analyze yourself, you can see whether or not are you demonstrating these different characters. Are you doing these things to show your faith in Yah? Are you showing your faith in those men who are teaching the word of Yah? Are you showing your faith and your understanding and your comprehension of what Yahushua did for us when he was here in the flesh and what he is still doing for us to the men in whom he has sent out and taught his word through his spirit. So from here, we're going to go to, I'm going to go back to the original scripture that we started off with, and that is Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. And it reads once again, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, proof of things not seen. For by this the elders obtained testimony. By faith we understand that the universe has been framed by the word of mighty ones, so that what is seen has not been made out of things which are visible." So from here we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. And it reads, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." So when here, once again, dealing with that same word, faith, same number and lexicon. So from here, we're going to go to Exodus chapter 24, verse 3. And it reads, "Moses came and told the people all the words of Yahweh and all the ordinances. And all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which Yahweh has spoken, we will we do." So right here, they heard his voice, and then they said that they was going to do something. They said, we're going to do it. Because if you read the story, you know, they didn't want to hear the father talking. So they said, we're going to accept Moses. We're going to accept Moses. Let Moses talk to us. Let Moses talk to us. So this is the introduction of a mediator between the Most High and the people. So from here, we're going to go to Joshua chapter 24, verse 24. And it reads, "The people said to Joshua, we will serve Yahweh our Elohim, and we will listen to his voice." So Father led me to this particular scripture because this is Israel reiterating what they said to Moses. And at this time, what they're also saying is that they are going to listen to his voice. So they are saying that they're going to do something. They're going to do that work. But now we have to get into understanding the faith aspect being put into these words that the people were saying, and put the faith put into their actions at the same time. But as you know, when we go through the history of Israel, a lot of times that they didn't, you know, the majority of the people, I would say, did not listen to his voice, did not have faith. But, you know, as the scriptures say, that faithful few, you know, that faithful few tends to help Israel out a great deal. Those men and women who serve the Most High and do and listen to his voice and do his word. So from here, we're going to go to Romans chapter 2, verse 29. And it reads, "But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and the circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from mighty ones." So I went to this scripture because it's talking about your inward person serving the Most High. And like in last week's lesson, I used the term, you know, a couple of times I used scripture that had the word heart in it. So this week I looked the word heart up. And in your Hebrew lexicon, it's the word 2588. And that is cardia. Cardia. And it's a noun. And it means the heart. But it, then it also says the mind, the character, inner self, will, intentions, center. All right. And then under that same number in the help word study, it reads this way. It says heart 2588, cardia, is mentioned over 800 times in scripture, but never referring to the literal physical pumping that drives the blood. That is, heart is only used frequently, both in the Old Testament and New Testament. So, I just read that just to let you know that when we're dealing with the term heart, it's mostly dealing with the mind of an individual, the will or the intentions, that thinking of an individual. So, from here, we're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 16. And it reads, circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. So, again, this is that term heart again. Now, this is the heart. This is in the, as we say, the old scriptures, because the first time I read it, it was in the new scriptures. So, now, we're going to read it from, as we say, the old scriptures, and that's 38:24, and that's in your lexicon, and there's labab, and it means inner man, mind, will, and the last definition that it has is heart. So getting back to this whole connotation of the term heart is ultimately talking about the mind of man, his thinking, his will. So now, in dealing with this particular scripture, it's saying that when men cut that foreskin from their mind, or that foolishness, or that sinful nature, or that disobedience, because where did it all come from? We have to go back to the garden, when the father told Adam not to eat of the tree in the midst of the garden, not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And he chose to eat of it. So when he chose that, what that did was separated him and the father, which put a covering, we would say, that skin, that foreskin, covered his understanding or his relationship with the father. And so what the father is trying to get us to do now is to get rid of that. Get rid of that disobedience and listen to him and follow him and obey his voice, because our forefather didn't do it. As a result of the disobedience, he became stiff-necked. That's the character that we picked up from being disobedient. Well, humanity picked up from Adam being disobedient. Because when you get into the scriptures, it talks about that he had children that was made in his image and after his likeness. And this is after the fall. He had children after he had fell. So his countenance had already changed. And so he, had children who had the same countenance as his, which was in a fallen state. So from here, we're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6. And it reads, Yahweh your Elohim will circumcise your heart and the heart of your seed to love Yahweh your Elohim with all your heart and with all your soul that you may live. So now we come to a point where the Most High, for Yahweh is saying that he's going to do some work for humanity's sake and for the, you know, the seed, because as we know, the seed is what continues a family. So from here, I'm going to go to James. And from here, James, we're going to go to James chapter 2. We're going to read verses 14, and then we're going to read 18 to 26. And it reads, "What doeth profit, my brethren, though a man saith he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him? Also, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one mighty one. Thou doest well. The demons also believe and tremble. But if thou know it, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seeing thou how faith worketh with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scriptures was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed mighty one, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of mighty one. Yet ye see then that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead." I went here, you know, because this is, you know, using our father Abraham, because as we know, faith, Abraham is the father of faith. And one of the things we know about the story of Abraham, you know, the Most High had Abraham do a number of things, and he did these things to strengthen his faith. He had him do a number of things, and it was a process. And when we go through the scriptures and read about Abraham, it was a process, you know, and that's just like with everyone. That's just like, you know, everyone, we as believers and humanity. It is a process, but it's a process that we have to choose that we want to go through and rely on an entity that's outside of ourselves and rely on an entity that we cannot see. But then yet we can see him through the word. We can see him through the prophets, through the teachers that he have chosen to minister to us. Because we can learn from actions, and we can also learn from being spoken to. However, the actions that we learn quickly from is those that we see. And I say that because if you pay attention to children, children learn a lot of things from what they see their parents, what they see their parents do, and those that are older than them do. They pick up things real quick, and they pick it up. Why? Because they've seen it being done over and over and over and over again. Like one of the things that we tend to say amongst our campus, repetition, repetition, repetition. Because through repetition, you gain understanding. Through repetition, things become clearer. So from here, we're going to go to Genesis chapter 15. And we're going to go to verses, we're going to read verses 1 to 7. And it reads, after these things, the word of Yahweh came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram, I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. Abram said, Yahweh Elohim, what will you give me since I go childless? And he who will inherit my estate is Eleazar of Damascus. Abram said, behold, to me you have given no seed, and behold, one born in my house is my heir. Behold, the word of Yahweh came to him, saying, this man will not be your heir, but he who will come from out of your own body will be your heir. Yahweh brought him outside and said, look now toward the sky and count the stars. If you are able to count them, he said to Abram, so shall your seed be. He believed in Yahweh, and he reckoned it to him for righteousness. He said to him, I am Yahweh who brought you out of Ur of Chaldea to give you this land to inherit it. So I went to this scripture because in a vision, which lets you know that Abram was a prophet, because as the scriptures say that the Most High talked to prophets in visions and in dreams. So can he talk to him in his vision, letting him know that he was going to have a seed? And Abram believed. He believed this. He believed it. And so that's what we have to do. We have to believe in the word of the Most High, have confidence in the word of the Most High. Because in we read in this story right here that Abram had confidence in what the Father and what Yahweh was saying to him. And as we read in James, they made reference to him as being doing a work and as being counted to him as righteousness. So from here, we're going to go to Job. And it reads, Job chapter 33, verses 14 to 16. And it reads, for mighty ones speak once, yes, twice, though man pays no attention. In a dream and a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls on men and slumber on the bed, then he opens the ears of men and seals their instructions. So this is just, you know, just reiterating how the Father talks to men in dreams and give them instruction. And those who believe and those who have been chosen will heed these words. Why? Going back to what we read earlier, how Israel said that they would do. And then that's when they was talking to Moses. And then when they reiterated it again when they was speaking to Joshua, when they said that they were going to do with the Father, they were going to serve the Father, and they were going to listen to his voice. So from here, we're going to go to Numbers chapter 12, verse 6, and it reads, he said, hear now my words, If there is a prophet among you, I, Yahweh, will make myself known to him in visions. I will speak with him in a dream. And I just went to this scripture just to support and verify the previous scriptures that I had read in regards to a prophet and how the Father said that he would communicate with them. So from here, we're going to go to Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 9. And it reads, then Yahweh put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And Yahweh said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Just going here, reiterating again about the prophet and how this is the prophet Jeremiah and how Yahweh touched his mouth and put his words in his mouth. And so those men who have been chosen to be prophets and to be teachers of Yahweh's word, see, the Father touches their mouth and put his words in their mouth. But we have to have faith that these words that the Father is putting in these men's mouths are true. And we also have to believe that the Father has even chosen this man. There's a scripture that talks about that. How can you teach unless you've been sent? Who is sending them? The Father is sending them. The Father is touching them. The Father is giving them, you know, and as we, you know, we get into the scriptures and when we deal with Yahushua, what did Yahushua do? Yahushua gave men authority to teach the truth. This is just another way in the scriptures that talks about how men have been chosen to teach the word of the Most High. And those men who have been chosen to teach the Most High, teach the word of the Most High, have faith. Why? Because they have been spoken to in dreams and in visions. They have had a relationship with Yahweh. And we as believers, if we believe in the word, have to have faith in the word, because the word supports itself. But you can have the word sitting on your table and you'll never learn anything from it, because the scriptures also teach that you have to seek the law from the priest list. It also say that you have to be taught the word. Do not forsake the assembly. For Moses is taught every Sabbath. But you have to have faith in these words that are on these pages. You have to have faith in the spirit that has led men to write these words down. See, these words that are written on these pages don't even belong to the men that wrote them. Belong to the Father. And the Father gave them to us so that we can understand and have a relationship with him through his son, Yahushua. Because Yahushua came in the flesh and demonstrated these things. And he also, when he was in the flesh, gave us understanding of these words. So from here, we're going to go to 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 19 to 21. And it reads, We have the more sure word of prophecy, and you do well that you heed it as a lamp as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star arises in the heart, in your heart. Knowing this, first, that no prophecy of Scripture is a private interpretation, for no prophecy ever came by the will of man, but holy men, a mighty one, spoke, being moved by the Holy Spirit. So from here, we're going to go to Ezekiel, chapter 36, verse 25 to 27. And it reads, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Will I cleanse you? I will also give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you shall keep my ordinances and do them. See, the Father was, Yahweh was speaking to Ezekiel. But as we listen to this today, he's also speaking to us. See, the Father helps us. He cleanses us. He cleanses us with his word. He cleanses us with his spirit. Why? Because he's trying to get rid of that stony heart from us. Just like I think it was last week when we was talking about tilling that ground. See what he's doing? He's using that water to break up that ground so that he can make it usable. In this particular scripture, he's utilizing the mind and comparing it to a stone, because stones are hard. Some of our mind and some of our thinking is hard, and the Father has to put in work to break it up, you know. But he's saying, I'm going to sprinkle this clean water on you, and I'm going to change you. I'm going to change that stony heart to a heart of flesh. And once we get that heart of flesh, it's going to cause us to walk in his statutes and keep his ordinances. So from here, we're going to go to John chapter 4. I'm reading verses 13 and 14. And it reads, Yahushua answers her, everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whosoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never thirst again. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. Just dealing with that water and understanding that the water that the Yahushua gives us is the water for eternal life. That pure water. So from here we're going to go to Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. And it reads, Yahweh is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? And I went to this scripture just to reiterate that, you know, Yahweh is not like us. Mighty One is not like man. Because man will lie to you and not do anything for you. But the Father is not going to lie to us. And he's going to make good on what he said. Because as we read in the scriptures before, his thoughts are not our thoughts, nor his ways our ways. You know, so we don't think nothing like the Father thinks. And we understand that our fallen state, we're dysfunctional. In our fallen state, we're diseased. In our fallen state, or our carnal mind, we're sinful. So from here, we're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15 and 16. And it reads, "Behold, I have set before you this day life and good, death and evil. In that I command you this day to love Yahweh, your Elohim, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his ordinances, that you may live and multiply, and that Yahweh, your Elohim, may bless you in the land where you go in to possess it." So, just reiterating, you know, some of the scriptures that we have been reading, telling us that, you know, keeping the law, statutes, and judgments, you know, showing you that the Father, he's going to bless us. Why? Because we obey in his voice. We're showing him that we're his people. And that's just like any parent that has a child. Parents want their children to listen to them, obey them, do as they tell them. And that's what the Father wants from us. He wants obedience. And then we learned last week, I think it was last week, maybe the week before. But, I mean, that's our service to the Father, is to keep his commandments, fear him, reverence him, honor him, and keep his commandments. So from here, I'm going to read 1 John chapter 5. Verse 1 to 4. And it reads, "Whoever believes that Yahushua is the Messiah is born of Yah. Whoever loves the Father also loves the child who is born of him. By this we know that we love the children of Yah, when we love Yah and keep his commandments. For this is the love of Yah, that we keep his commandments. His commandments are not grievous. For whatever is born of Yah overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world. Your faith." You know what? I'm gonna read a little bit more. In this particular. I'm going to read down. I should have just went on and just read all of it. But I'm going to read 1 John 5 through 8. And it's just a continuation of what I already read. And it reads, verse 5, "Who is he who overcomes the world, but he who believes that Yahushua is the Son of Yah. This is he who came by water and by blood, Messiah Yahushua. Not with water only, but with the water and the blood. It is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three who testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the three agree as one. So I just went there just to, you know, these just a few scriptures that the Father put on my heart to read in regards to the faith. You know what? I'm gonna just go ahead and finish reading this. Got some scriptures to, I guess, to support verse 7 and 8. And so I'm gonna read it again. Verse 7 says, "For there are three who testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and they all agree as one." So go to Mark chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. And it reads, "And it happened in those days that Yahushua came from Nazareth of Galilee, and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting, and the Spirit descending on him like a dove." So from here, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 27, verse 50 and 51. And it reads, "Yahushua cried again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. The earth quaked and the rocks were split." Oh, the first scripture I read, Mark chapter 1, verse 9 to 10. This is talking about the water testimony, or dealing with the baptism. Matthew 27, verse 50 and 51. This is talking about the blood, talking about his death. And have another scripture I want to read. We're going to go to Acts we're going to go to Luke chapter 1, verse 35, and it reads, "The angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, also, the Holy One who is born from you will be called the Son of God. And the last scripture that I'm going to read for the night is John chapter 19, and it reads, chapter 19, verse 34 and 35, and it reads, "However, one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. He who has seen has testified, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, that you may believe. So family, as we prepare ourselves for our Sabbath slumber, may we consider our faith to the word. May we consider our loyalty to the Father. May we consider how much we depend on the Father, or depend on the Mighty One. Because as we go through the different stories of the prophets and the men and women who believed in the Mighty One, they depended on him. They had faith in him. They had total reliance on him. And because they had total reliance in him, others began to gain faith. And as we have said from time to time, walking this way wasn't promised to be easy. Because when we look at the life of the Messiah when he was here on earth, he definitely did not have an easy life. And if we've taken up his state, we're not going to have an easy life also in this life, in this world system. But when we put in that work, when we obey his voice, what do he tell us? Eternal life. Eternal life is our goal. Eternal life is that gift. Eternal life. Paradise. Putting in that work. We put in that work through that faith, and he's going to look down and call us righteous. Because we're doing them both. Not saying that we're going to slip sometimes. It's about getting back up, dusting yourself off, repenting, and not making the same mistakes over and over again. Being willing to be a servant of the Most High. Being willing. Even though we read earlier today, there's a scripture that he encourages us to do the right thing. He encourages us to do the right thing, to listen to his voice, to obey his voice, his statutes, his judgments, his commandments. There's a scripture that tells us to learn of Yahushua, because that's what he did. He was obedient unto death. So that's what we're supposed to do. I think I've read this scripture before where it talks about how we're supposed to be a living sacrifice to the Father. Giving up our life. Giving up this world system. To be like Yahushua said, I am not of this world. I am not of this kingdom. Operating in the kingdom already while we're here on earth. That way, when it comes, it's not going to be anything new because you've been already doing it. You've been already being an example to those who strive not to do those things. But then they would have no excuse because your example that you've shown them is being written down as a good deed for you because you're showing righteousness. You're showing faith in the Most High, in the Mighty One. Just as our forefathers have have done and demonstrated. You know, if you haven't heard this, you know, I'm just repeating something that's been said in amongst our flock. You know, the book is still being written. So our lives are being written down for others to learn from. So show your faith, just as Abraham shows his faith, and we read about it, and we talk about it. Let someone talk about your faith and how you helped change their life. So, family, as I prepare to go to sleep, I'm going to end this with a brief prayer. Thank you, Father, for the time that you've given us to go over your word and travel through your word. We ask of thee to open our minds to receive the wonders of these words that we went over today. May these words increase our faith in thee. May these words help us to rid ourselves of the sinful nature that dwells within us. We ask of thee, O Father, to continue to keep us under your wings and keep your eyes focused on us. And may we continue to look back at you, Father, and give you praise and give you honor. For you are worthy of praise and you are worthy of honor. We thank thee for thy Son, Yahushua, our Lord, our Savior, Redeemer, soon coming King, for the example that he has shown, for the love that he has shown toward us, laying his life down. For us, may we also lay our life down for him, so that others can learn of him and cleave to him and allow his blood to cleanse them of their sins. Father, we ask of thee to continue to watch over the sick and those who are in need of your assistance. Strengthen our elders. Comfort our elders. Comfort those that are not feeling well, that are in bad health. But constantly remind them that you love them. Father, we thank thee once again for meeting with us on this Sabbath day. Blessed are you, Yahweh, shield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who restores his presence to Zion. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who blesses Israel with peace. We ask all these things in the name of Yahushua, our Lord and Savior and Redeemer, and soon coming King. Amen.
In the beginning there was peace, and in the end there will be peace. But what is here and now is war, not a war of money or land, but rather one of spirituality. So as our blood, sweat, and tears begin to blend into the rhythm of the drum, we are faced with one question. Who is willing to die for the light? Are you ready for the war?